And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. You can always write to us, taylor@ciut.fm, and check us out on the web, taylor-report.com. I want to congratulate the Cuba, Free the Cuban Five organizers on a wonderful weekend of work. We had many, many prominent speakers, including family members of the Five, and I think that they did break the silence, and we're getting a lot of good attention to the issue. Today on the show, we're going to be talking to Greta Berlin, who is going to be in Toronto on Friday, September the 28th at 7 p.m. at a very well-known and beloved spot, I would say, Beth Satoon House, and that is, we always say, behind Honest Ed's on Markham, but very well-known, Markham and Bloor. And it's going to be Friday, September 28th at 7 p.m., and it's Greta Berlin, and I believe she is on the line with us now. Are you there?
Yes, I am, and thank you for asking me on your show.
Well, Greta, we're really glad to be talking to you. You are a veteran of the Freedom Gaza movement, and you're one of those who has transformed it into freedom sailors. You've developed a naval capacity to your movement, and you've written, I forgot to tell everybody, by the way, this is a book launch, Freedom Sailors, Friday, and Greta's going to be there at 7 p.m. So tell us about the book. I understand that you've edited it, and there are a good number, maybe the majority of your sailors, fellow sailors on the two ships, who have written or been interviewed about their experience, right?
Right. This is really the story of the very first voyage. And that happened in August 22nd, 2008. Mm-hmm. And it took us 2 years to put that voyage together. And if that voyage had not been successful, we wouldn't have the Gaza Freedom March. We wouldn't have had the flotillas or the flotillas or all the other things that has brought the cause of the Palestinians
to
the forefront.
That's right. You also have your land, sea, and air now. You've also added air.
We've even thought about getting balloons on the next flotilla and sort of sailing them into Gaza. But the idea was to break Israel's illegal siege on the people of Gaza, 1.5 million people who don't even have access to their own seafront. Mm-hmm. So we had worked on it. Most of us who were the organizers came out of the ISM. But the passengers, as you said, the passengers came from all over the world. We had 44 passengers on board those two rickety boats. Mm-hmm. They came from 17 countries. The oldest was 81, the youngest was 22, and many of them were just common people who had a passion for justice and asked to be part of the passengers.
Isn't that remarkable? I have to say, it seems like, and I've noticed that Noam Chomsky and Alice Walker and others have complimented your organization and people because it's so creative. This seemed unthinkable. When I first heard of it, I thought, well, fat chance.
Well, that's usually what most people said. People thought we were crazy. I mean, really, I was told, my own family, who's extremely supportive of what I was doing, thought, okay, this is not going to happen. Yeah. And I think that we were, the subtitle to the book is How We Succeeded in Spite of Ourselves. I think one of the reasons that we succeeded is because we were too dumb to know we couldn't.
Yeah, what a wonderful quality. That's something you and Columbus probably have in common.
Exactly. Yeah. He thought he was sailing off the end of the world, and we sort of went to the end of the world.
Yeah, and really a remarkable. Now, you do mention, and it's probably very important to know, you just ran into the ordinary problems that sailors run into. You had mechanical problems, and you had problems of weather. And you guys, you say, these are ordinary people. Probably very few of them are sailors, right?
Well, out of the 44 passengers on board, there were probably not more than 8 who had had any kind of sailing experience at all. We had put together an entire list of things that the passengers had to be aware of. They knew that they would get seasick, for example. They knew they had to wear their life rafts. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody was prepared for the fact that what the Israeli government did is they cut off our communications in the middle of the night. on the 22nd and 23rd of August. So,
did you ever think of charging him for that? And that surely is a crime.
Well, yes, it's a crime, but it's very difficult. I mean, look, they murdered 9 of our passengers on board the Freedom Flotilla in May of 2010, and they still haven't been held accountable for that.
Yes.
According to maritime law, you cannot shut down Channel 16. That's the one that all the captains talk on. You cannot shut down the satellite phones, but they did anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So we were two small boats. These were small fishing boats. They were equipped to hold maybe 11 or 12 people each, and we had 24 on one boat, and we had, I think, 19 on the other. Mm-hmm. And we were not equipped to be able to even SOS somebody, and we were drifting in the middle of the Mediterranean. It was cold, it was dark, the weather was terrible, and the only reason I think that we didn't run into somebody else or that we actually survived that night is because we had two superb captains.
Were they, by the way, just guessing, were they Greek, the captains?
One captain was Greek, one captain was American.
Uh-huh.
They were literally trying to run the boats off pieces of paper and a compass. That is all that we had in the middle.
And they did a pretty good
night.
Job.
They did a very good job, considering that we actually got there, yes. I mean, these are long-term captains. But I think that one of the things that I think people need to realize is that most people know about the flotilla because mm-hmm. 9 people were murdered on board.
Mm-hmm.
But the Freedom Flotillas or the Freedom Sailors had started 4 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
Our first voyage, which is what this book is about, Freedom Sailors,
mm-hmm.
that first voyage went in August of 2008, but we had started organizing it in August of 2006.
Mm-hmm. No, it's absolutely remarkable. I remind our listeners, we're speaking to Greta Berlin, and she is going to be in Toronto at a book launch for Freedom Sailors. It's going to be, that will be Friday, September 28th. At 7 p.m. at Betsatoon, a very well-known spot. It's on Markham at Bloor. And, Greta, I'm curious, what was your reception? You were the first one, so for the Israelis, this was the first for them, too. How did that go?
Well, remember that we didn't ask Israel for permission. We didn't have to ask Israel for permission. We weren't going into Israel. We were
mm-hmm.
going into Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Israel has no right to stop us. In any case, we were not sailing into Israel. We didn't get anywhere close to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We sailed directly from international waters into the waters of Gaza. So when we, after that long 33 hours of that voyage, when we saw the shores of Gaza, and the Israelis had not stopped us, and then finally the Foreign Office apparently in Israel said they weren't going to stop us. By the way, they have no right to stop us. They have
mm-hmm.
no right to stop us.
Mm-hmm.
But when they said they would let us go, we there was such a cheer on board both of those boats. And by that time, we had an Al Jazeera cameraman on board the Free Gaza. He had the one satellite phone. We were smart. That was the only thing we were smart about. We had said we'll keep one satellite phone and we'll keep it off
mm-hmm.
because then Israel cannot get the frequency of that satellite phone. He turned it on that morning. He called Al Jazeera. And Al Jazeera told everybody. They had it on their website. They had it on their programs. By the time we got to Gaza, there were 40,000 people.
There's a reception I should have been asking about. the Palestinians.
It was the most remarkable day of my life. It really was. To see the 40,000 people, there wasn't a stone that where somebody wasn't on it.
Wow.
And to see our rickety little boats, our first mate called these boats shipwrecks. They were so fragile. They were just wooden sailing boats. But there was a certain loveliness, I think, to that, because we didn't have any better boats than the Palestinians of Gaza had.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to come in on those kinds of boats. When we landed, there was so much joy that we had actually broken the siege. We know that we haven't ended the siege,
mm-hmm.
but we have broken it. We got in 5 times. We got in 5 times successfully, 4 times more after that, before Israel began to board us and batter us and then beat us up and murder us.
It's part of the history of the region. There's the Israeli solution to problems. You had a great quote in the promotion of this book, and by the way, people can go, I invite you, please, to go to freedomsailors.com, where you can learn of the book and see some of the picked photographs, and there's other links. There's also a link, by the way, for that you should know about GazaArk.org. I like this quote from Ramzi Baroud, who is writes Palestine Chronicle, and he's the author of a really terrific book, My Father Was a Freedom Fighter. He says, this boats to Gaza strategy has, and he says, was game-changing, and it did rivet attention. It's true, isn't it? I mean, that there's now so many more voices have been raised, I mean, Nobel laureates and Noam Chomsky and others saying, you know, this thing of making Gaza into a sort of high-grade prison, or low, has got to come to an end, and that this is one of the best tactics.
Yes, I think that we put Gaza on the map. Nobody paid any attention to Gaza. It's a small little slice of the Mediterranean. People were worried about the occupied West Bank, and they should be. At the time we started this, Israel was busy committing war crimes against the people of Lebanon. Mm-hmm. So nobody paid any attention to the people of Gaza, and yet there are now about 1.7 million people mm-hmm. who are, I call it a concentration camp, because prisoners have rights. But the people of Gaza can't get in, they can't get out. They are being slowly squeezed to death. And if the world was not paying attention, that would have happened already. I think the concern that we have is that no matter what we're doing, nobody is being held accountable in Israel. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that we said members of civil society had to do this is because governments are doing nothing. Governments are not holding Israel accountable. So it's up to members of civil society to say, we're not going to put up with this any longer. And I think that what we did, which was really beneficial, is we put this on the map. People are now talking about it. We changed the game.
Yeah, indeed. Noam Chomsky and others pointed that out. It is a brilliant tactic. It is nonviolent, and it puts the onus on those who are running that prison camp and trying to create fancy excuses for doing so. Your ships were called Free Gaza and Liberty. Are they still in service?
No.
They retired? You have found a museum for them?
Well, they're sort of retired. We were lucky that they got there and back on the first time. We really were. We did fix up the Free Gaza. It is in Tunis. It's being used for some of the activists in Tunis. It's interesting that you asked me that, because one of our Tunisian activists said that a lot of the Tunisians felt that the uprising in Tunis and the uprising in Tunisia was based on the fact that they looked at what Free Gaza had done. They said, look, civil society really can make a change. We really can do something. So we took the Free Gaza and gave it to the people of Tunis in order for them to use it there as a symbol of what civil society can do. The Liberty is gone. The Liberty was completely trashed. There was nothing else you could do with it. It barely got there and back to begin with.
Well, thank goodness you have some nice pictures of it.
We do have some beautiful pictures of it, and it's ironic. They look so good on the sea, and you can see all these lovely flags.
I have to say, and again, freedomsailors.com, please go to that site. Those are great photographs, and I hope they're in the book.
They are.
And Greta's coming to Toronto to speak and to be part of a book launch at Betz at Toon, and that, I remind you, is this coming Friday, September 28th at 7 p.m., and it's on Markham at Bloor, a very well-known spot, Betz at Toon. Now, in terms of what you definitely have inspired, but I have to say, I've met people on the street who said, gee, how could I get involved with it? I mean, that would tell you that, for example, our Canadian government is totally hostile to the Gaza freedom work, but not the population, not the ordinary people. Actually, they like this kind of activity. It's an adventure, and they can take a stand. And you've inspired in something new. This is going to be called Gaza Ark.
That's right.
And can you talk about that?
Yes, and I think that's one of the reasons that I'm on this tour in Canada, other than the fact that I am kind of Canadian. My dad was, so I'm very happy to come back.
Well, welcome home.
Thank you. Is that there is a new project that's going to be probably the boat will probably leave Gaza in the spring or early summer of 2013. But one of the things that we were trying to do as an initiative was to say it's not enough to send the boats into Gaza. We are not sending boats into Gaza for humanitarian supplies.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Gaza are perfectly capable of taking care of themselves if they're given their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So the next step was to put together an initiative where the people build a boat, and then they would take the boat and sail it out of Gaza and into Europe.
Wow. Now that's good. And with goods for trade.
I think that what we are hoping to do is put people in Gaza to work. They'll have an opportunity mm-hmm. To build the boat. Then we'll load it with product,
mm-hmm.
embroidery, wood, furniture. And we'll have contracts with people in Europe who will buy that product so that if Israel stops the boat, they're going to have to contend with the Europeans because the Europeans have a free trade agreement with the people of Palestine.
Oh, that is a great story.
Yeah, we think so.
You know, free, because you know we live here we're continually hearing about free trade, so we're able to ask them, "Do you actually believe in it?" Because you're going to test that.
That's right. And so if that boat is stopped, we're going to make sure that the governments in Europe are on the case on this. They're, by the way, Europe is much better than the United States and Canada in any case regarding the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have contracts so that a store in Holland, for example, has bought $10,000 worth of embroidery, it's up to that. It's up to Holland then to come back to Israel and say, you cannot take that product. You have no right to take those products.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they going to do? They say they're stopping us coming into Gaza because we might have munitions. Of course, that's
yeah.
just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But what are they going to say if we sail out of Gaza?
No, that is it's wonderful. It's almost like an art form, what you've developed here. It seems to me you've gone from being a freedom sailor to being a possible Palestinian shipping magnate.
Yeah, it's too bad we're not making any money.
Well, the Palestinians down the road will benefit, obviously benefit.
So. That's right. That's exactly what we hope.
Yeah.
Gaza is the only territory on the Mediterranean that has no access to its own sea. It's the only territory.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any access to its own sea.
Sailors who can't, fishermen who can't go out and fish, right?
No, they can only go out 3 miles, and it's been completely fished out. Israel is not letting them go any further than that. They have no right to trade. They have no right to go back and forth. And that's what we are standing up for, and that is that the Palestinians have the right to trade, not aid. They have the right to trade. They have the right to freedom of movement.
That's great. We've been speaking with Greta Berlin. She's coming to Toronto. We're very, very grateful. This book is ought to be in everybody's hands. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Greta Berlin. And she will be in Toronto Friday, 7 p.m., Betsatoon, which is at Markham and Bloor, as we like to say, behind Honest Ed's. And everybody knows where that is, most famous sales emporium in Canada.